World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, welcome out there today, boys and girls. Welcome. Welcome. Hey, better get your hat. Better get your visor. I only got a few of the blue ones left. Kind of a hot item. Got the red one we wore yesterday. I'm kind of the man in black today. I don't know if you picked up on that, man in black, wearing my Jesus visor, something about that name. You can say God all you want to. You start using this name right here. Ooh, separates the sheep from the goats really, really quick. It's something about that name, the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Not at the name of God, not at the name of Yahweh, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. I wear that. Something about that name. Something about that name. Welcome! February 6, 2018. Heading to Joplin, Missouri this weekend coming up. And Kevin, I saw it's going to be 51 degrees out there. Unbelievable. We're supposed to get 4 inches of snow here tonight. We've been through a little bit of a cold spell, so I'm looking forward to heading that way. And if you're in any ways near the Joplin, Missouri area, get on our website and check out what we got going on. We'd love for you to come out there. We're going to do a little bit of, we're just going to wake up some men. Okay. Wake up some guys out there in, Joplin area, and love for you to be able to join with us. Got a lot on the plate today. As always, folks, I was having a little dialogue here with the guys before the show began. We have a tendency, just let me give you this definition real quick. I'm going to do some good. I heard a lot of people yesterday about crime and punishment. I'm going to get into some of that here again this morning. I think it deserves another crack at it. Folks, listen. You know, the idea of conspiracy theory was a term that was invented by the CIA right around the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And they came up with the idea of conspiracy theory because they wanted to know anybody who had an opinion that was anti-government. They were going to remember Saul Alinsky's, one of his rules for radical ridicule is your greatest weapon. So what they did at that point was they came up with the idea, well, you don't think Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone? Well, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're a conspiracy theorist. And they turned it into the N-word. They turned it into the N-word. To the point where now nobody really wants to be able to speak out about this stuff. Because, you know, the farther we get away from stuff, the more we realize we've been lied to in a lot of ways about a lot of different things. And as I've often said, a conspiracy, conspire means breathe, and con means together. So a conspiracy is people getting together, breathing the same air, having unity, actually, right? That's a good thing. For where there is unity, God will command his blessing. So to conspire together is a good thing. It really is a good thing. A conspiracy can be good or a conspiracy can be bad. But a conspiracy in itself is neither good nor bad, right? And so they have convinced us that a lot of the things we talk about, even in Christianity, that's where I'm heading. I don't care about the government conspiracy. I do care about that. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about conspiracy within Christianity. We read yesterday in Jude, I think we read yesterday, that evil men crept in unawares, right? They've changed the truth. They changed the truth of the gospel. They're changing the truth of it. That was a conspiracy. That didn't just happen. And then I want to talk real quickly, and I'll get off of it. Linda will get fired up here. I'm not going to forget you. And then we talk about cause and effect. Say, well, Coach, I had some guy tell me, Coach, I don't like listening because I don't want to hear about them giants. I don't want to hear about them giants, that Nephilim and all kind of stuff. I said, oh, my goodness, dude. Oh, my goodness. Don't you understand cause and effect? Are you looking around and understanding that the world's on fire, the culture's disintegrating, and do you think it's just happening by accident? Or don't you understand the deeper truths in the scriptures and how things are going to manifest as we progress farther and farther towards the end time, whatever that end time might be? Don't you understand that L.A. Marzulli and Steve Quayle and some of those guys, and Michael Lake, I could go on with a bunch of names, that you guys that you think are kooks, don't you understand that much of the stuff that they've been talking about is coming to fruition? Russ Dizdar, MK Ultra, is all you think? You guys think he's crazy? You think it's conspiracy? And see, I don't. It's like eating a meal, okay? It's like I sit down in front of me. I've got potatoes, and I got steak, and I got green beans, and I got salad, and I got pumpkin pie, and ice cream on top of it, and a drink. And every one of them are part of the meal. Every one of those things. And if something wrong with me, if I spend all my time eating on the Nephilim, if that's all I did is eat on that, there's something wrong with you, and that's not healthy. But I can't say, well, I don't want to taste that. Say, well, try it. You'll like it. No, I don't. And that's what most of Christianity is. They don't even want to try it. Say, come on, just have a little bite. It might do something to your palate. It might wake you up. That's what I want Pass the Salt, this show, to be. Something that, I won't go there. I got a piece of candy in my mouth. Hey, how about you guys out there? How's your fast coming? Anybody have a testimony at all, real quickly, about anything that's happened to you over the last, we're almost through day 6 already. I don't know what you're fasting. Had a guy email me yesterday, said, Jeff Klein, tell him to fast cigarettes. That's what this guy did. He's fasting cigarettes. He said, not only am I fasting cigarettes, I'm not ever going to pick one up again. So see, there's a physical, consequence to it. It's good. And yes, sir, Michelle and I still been doing these things, still been exercising. Anybody have a testimony at all yet about the fast? Now, hang on. Remember, you go, don't feel guilty if you're off your fast. Don't feel guilty. Some of you may only did a 1 day, maybe only did a 2 day. That's okay. That's a good start, good place. Some of you are continuing on. You're now 6 days into whatever it was that you've decided to fast. Spiritual strength is being built as a result. Just curious, anybody out there have any feedback from your fast?
I personally can't fast because I'm on antibiotics and chest and cold thing. But you inspired my nephew, 17-year-old nephew. He's on his first 3-day fast.
Awesome.
My 11-year-old daughter is starting today.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Tell them they don't get brownie points by doing it. Say if they want to go 3 days, okay. But it's like anything else, guys. You get a day and a half into it and it gets harder. You don't want to quit. That's hard. I got to get something to eat. Well, okay. Go get something to eat. But see, you're not building that strength, that spiritual strength. Go ahead, Serge.
Well, like I told you yesterday, it's my first time that really doing it. And I'm doing it 6 days now. And it's amazing.
Awesome.
And I'm just asking to open my eyes and open my ears to the word and just be able to fellowship more and stronger and open up to men.
Got to pray. Got to read the scriptures. Got to do both of those things. And I want to encourage you. You may not recognize the strength for a month. It might be 2 months from now. But you will have developed spiritual muscles that you didn't have yet. And you don't even know they're getting stronger. Just telling you. Yeah. Cause you're killing the flesh and asking the Lord to kill whatever that is inside of you, a humbling experience. Cool. Anybody else? Don't feel guilty if you don't have one. Lindell emailed me. Lindell's part of a Bible study they got going on. Jump in here, Lindell, and fill us in on how other guys can get involved with it. I know David Arthur's trying to start a little, it's pumps me up. Ministries are branching out like this. What's going on there, Lindell? Are you with us? I didn't even see if you were with us in there, but you always are.
I'm here.
Lindell's clear down in Peru, folks. We're international here at Pass the Salt. Lindell's Lindell's down in Peru. By the way, Lindell. Hey, Lindell. I still got you covered, brother.
All right, good.
Still got my Lindell hat.
Yeah, on Tuesday nights we have a Bible study. Tim Tubra is doing the teaching, and it's at 10 Eastern time. I kind of wanted to give a little testimony about what happened, how this all started.
Sure.
About a year ago, January, February of last year. The subject of sin came up on the show, and Tim said, I can teach you not how to not sin. And he said, so, you know, if anybody wants to talk to me about it, I'll tell them about it. And so I contacted him after the show, and we started going through Romans.
Lindell froze up on us. He got stuck on Romans.
Uh-oh.
There he's back.
Yeah, so we started going through Romans, and we've gone through it several times, but that's been happening for about a year now. So if you want to get on, it's like a huddle, like a Google huddle. So I can't meet with him in the United States, so we're doing it through huddle. You go through Whiskey Wisdom Bible Study .wordpress.com. And it's Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern.
There'll be an easier way we can get that. Whiskey Wisdom, see, I forget it already, and so did everybody else listening to us.
Well, maybe I can start sending out a link.
Yeah, put a link over on the side for whatever it is, and then maybe Jared can shoot that out. So that's what night is that, Lindell?
I can do that. Yeah.
What night is that?
It's Tuesday nights. That's why I came on this morning. Tuesday nights. Eastern.
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. They have to do that because Tim's on the West Coast. And then we got David Arthur is trying to start a little huddle get together. JR, as you know, JR has his Saturday morning show, 10 till noon Eastern Standard Time. Is anybody else out there missing? Because we got, well, of course, Chad, what he's doing down there with his guys down there. Hey, Sarge, what do you got going up on there, Sarge? You still getting together with your guys up there?
Absolutely. We're in spiritual warfare like you won't believe.
Awesome, man. So see, Kevin Van Story's getting it gone. Rob Pugh's getting it gone. Probably more than I even know. So there's a lot that's growing out of here. And remember, what I'm trying to do here, guys, is I'm trying to blow some energy into you to get you to get involved and to try to impact those that are around you. So praise the Lord, man. It's all good. All good. So again, I want to double back around and say to everybody, I cannot help mixing the world and the gospel. I can't help doing that. To me, they are interlocked. Cause and effect. And if we don't understand, the Bible tells us to not be ignorant of his devices. And I come back again and I say this, this book is about here. It's about here. It's not about heaven. There are parts in here that are about heaven, but this book talks about here. And so if we just want to talk about this from a heavenly perspective, that's why our churches are in the condition that they're in. That's exactly why. Heavenly perspective. So I want to show you here real quickly. Here's what we're dealing with. Oh, I got some good stuff, man. We were talking about crime and punishment yesterday. I'm going to try to weave my way back into that. But I want to show you this. Hey, we got room. I look up here. We got room for a few more of you out there. You want to jump in and be part of the chat room, the huddle room. Jump in here. We'd love to have you. Hey, I saw this one with this phony priest. Remember we were talking about, let me go real quickly. Jared, pull that first one up there while I'm digging here. We're getting away from the gospel, boys and girls. And I'm going to show you something here this morning that just blessed my heart. I don't know if you guys know Rick Wiles or not. True news. Boy, Rick Wiles, woo-wee. That boy stepped out. He has stepped out because he's taken on what nobody takes on, and that is Zionism. I'm going to play a little clip from Rick today. And what is Zionism? Zionism is, dare I say it, the elevation of the state of Israel and Jews above the gospel. And Rick Wiles nails it. And we'll play that clip here today. That's part of the evil men have crept in unawares. Jared, you didn't have to pull that. I don't know if you did. It says right here in the book of Joel. I have a hard time finding it if I stay in Joel. In the book of Jude, it says this. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered for the saints. That, by the way, that contention is between us Christians. We're contending with each other. We're not contending with the outside world. If we can't get it right within the church, we're not going to get it right outside. See, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before old ordained. There's that word, ordained, to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That means loose living, doing whatever you want to do, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the church has lost its savor. The church has the salt has lost its savor, and because the salt has lost its savor, the world's going to hell. Now, why is it infiltration? So I'm going to give you, this is on Fox News. This phony, I don't know what else to call him, pastor from Washington, D.C. Just listen to this. This is, hey, Jared, man, I hate to do this to you. Can you pull up on the screen, Jared? I just knew it in my knower. When I'm watching this clip, it doesn't matter. We'll come back to that, Jared. Go ahead and play this 5-minute clip. This is what we're fighting against, fellas. This is what we're fighting against, because they've infiltrated the churches. We talked about crime and punishment yesterday, judgment, justice. We'll talk about a little bit of that more today. See, the church has no judgment, no justice anymore. None. There's none. Jesus loves everybody. Come on in. Here's an example of it. Go ahead, Jared.
Resolutions. One declared the city a sanctuary diocese. The other encouraged full acceptance of transgenderism. And a third called for the elimination of gendered references to God wherever possible in case the liturgy is ever rewritten. Reverend Alex Dyer is priest in charge at St. Thomas Episcopal Church in DuPont Circle here in Washington and proposed two of those resolutions. And he joins us tonight. Father Dyer, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Tuck.
So this raises a lot of questions, but one of them is about the many millions of Episcopalians no longer with us who didn't believe anything that you've proposed. And what does that mean about them? Were they bigots?
No, I think, you know, if you're referring to the decline in membership, that's...
I'm not referring to that, though. Okay. I'm interested in the subject. Yeah. But I mean, the idea that gendered language is unholy, unchristian, should be removed. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a very new idea.
That's not exactly what it says.
Okay.
In the sense of the resolution says, ask us to draw multiple images of God.
Yeah.
Masculine, feminine, and wide diversity. That's found in Scripture. That we will, as you said, alluded to, if we decide to rewrite our prayers, what we use for prayers and worship, we want to draw on that. We don't want to take away anything. We want to add on to.
But for example, the story of Adam and Eve that kicks off the first volume of our Scriptures is a very gendered story. I mean, God creates a man and a woman, doesn't create anybody else, just those two, and that seems complete. And it's from that model that Christians have understood gender, sex.
Yeah. And I'm sure you also know, too, that there's another Genesis story in chapter 2 where God creates Adam, and then he creates a helper, and Eve isn't identified gender until actually till chapter 3.
So he created him a homo!
Eve might not have been a woman?
Well, I wasn't there.
But is there any evidence that she wasn't?
I think what the important thing to gather away is that the important thing is that God is beyond gender. And I think when we're talking about God, we're using language, and language limits us, right? And we're talking about something that is limitless, God, that we're trying to get our heads around. But yet language is all we have in order to do that. So in a sense, we, in a sense, don't want to limit the language that we use.
Well, I don't think that's crazy, but when I take three steps back, what I see is a church that embraces literally any fashionable left-wing social cause. If I put the New York Times editorial page up against your priorities, they're identical. And then I also see a church whose membership has completely collapsed. And I wonder if embracing fashionable left-wing politics has been bad for the church.
Well, I don't think that you can necessarily compare us to every thing. I think what I saw when we got together in the end of January in the Diocese of Washington was a group of faithful Christians who got together and prayed together. We even had a wonderful sermon from a Baptist minister.
Yes.
And encouraged us to follow Jesus. And I believe that's what we were doing. So I don't do these things because of my political leanings, whatever they be. I do these things because I think I'm faithfully following Jesus. And
right.
Jesus, who calls us to reach out to people on the margins and to reach out to everyone.
I embrace that, and I think that sincere Christians can be liberal. I'm not saying that at all. I drive by your church.
I believe sincere Christians could be conservative.
And I see posters attacking Trump, gun control, open borders. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the liberal political catechism. And then I look at the numbers. When I was baptized in the Episcopal Church, there were 3.5 million members. Mm-hmm. There are now fewer than 1.7 million. Mm-hmm. D.C., in D.C., your church has dropped 60% or something in the last several years.
Not quite
years.
That much, but there has been, I think there's...
Even as the city has grown. So I guess my takeaway is maybe this purely political message, which is what you're selling, isn't what people are looking for in church.
I don't believe it's a purely political message. I believe what we're selling here is trying to more faithfully follow Jesus. And so membership is a very complicated thing.
Do you think Jesus had views on gun control?
I think what I'm saying is basically membership has declined across denominations, not just the Episcopal Church. So I think we need to keep that.
That is absolutely true. It's not across denominations. Some denominations have actually grown during the past 30
years.
None has dropped faster than the Episcopal Church.
I think you agree with me, Tucker, though, that as a Christian, in a sense, and your Christian viewers, we should be worried about people not attending churches across any denomination.
I couldn't agree more, but when I go to church, and it literally, as in your church, it literally could be Paul Krugman reading this week's editorial, I'm thinking, I can get that at work. Maybe there's a point where politics kills the spiritual message.
Tucker,
do you think that's a concern?
Tucker, I would invite you to come down to our church any Sunday.
I'd be one of 75 people there, and that makes me sad because it's a beautiful church.
It is, and we are continuing to grow. I've been there about a year, and as we grow, I think what people are finding is they're looking for a church that is not judgmental. They're looking for a church that loves Jesus.
You have a sign attacking people on the base of gun control, attacking the president
your church. That's not what the sign says.
I drive by them every day. Yeah. that seems pretty judgmental to me.
And you know what my favorite banners is?
What?
It's the one that says Jesus, when Jesus says, I never said I hated anyone.
Well, I like that. That's
good. I think we can agree about that.
Father Dyer, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay, so my antenna went up. I got to be careful what I say. I'll end up on right wing watch, okay? Hey, Jared, pull up. Here he is. So I went to the Web Church website and I said, I smell something. There he is, the priest in charge. There we scroll down, Jared. There we scroll down to the very bottom. There we scroll down, Reverend Alex. There he is. There he is. Huh? There's his husband and their little toddler. That's what it says at the bottom. Alex's husband, Ryan DeLoach, is a social worker and also works in D.C. They have a delightful toddler daughter who also keeps them both very busy.
You got to pray for it.
Evil men crept in unaware. See, and hey, Larry, broad, narrow, many, few. And so he said the opposite of the gospel, that they're trying to be more, expanding? They're trying, God's more than what we think it is. You see, this is the movement that's going on. It's just going on everywhere. And when Tucker is trying to get people in church, dare I say it, I'm trying to get people to be the church. There's a big difference in that thing. And I would say to anybody, run from this place. Run from this guy, man. Run from him. Go, somebody.
Coach, Tucker drives me crazy. He gets people like this on his show, and the best he can do is laugh at them. He doesn't confront them. He says, well, I'll agree with you. I'll concede this. He does more harm than he does good. I understand this, JR.
He don't have the Holy Spirit, right? He don't have the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Huh? He should have been just burning. I mean, I was driving me crazy last night when I was listening to this. I mean, just going nuts.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? There's nobody to really counter it. If they wanted to do good TV, why wouldn't they bring me on after this? Can you imagine what that would look like if they brought me on and let me go at this guy? Would that be great TV or what? See, but no, they don't want to do that.
You'd set the screen on fire, Coach.
It's awesome. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you this. I'm going to be on ABC. There's a show out there, never heard of it, on regular TV called Blackish, B-L-A-C-K-I-S-H, Blackish. Don't even know whatever it is, but they contacted me and they want to use one of my News with Views video clips, proud to be white. They want to use 1 minute and 19 seconds of it on their show that's coming up here within the next couple, 3 weeks. Is that unbelievable? So I've been in negotiations with them. We're going to be there. They're going to play my News with Views clip where I say I'm proud to be white. So people said, man, you better be careful. They're going to make you look like a fool. Well, first of all, I already look like a fool. I never worry about that. But part of the contract is they showed me what clip they were going to use and how they're going to address. I don't even care, man. I don't even care. I praise God for the opportunity to be. Can you believe that?
Coach,
get a chance to do that.
Amen. You're no fool, Coach.
Say it again, Serge.
You're no fool.
I'm no fool, brother. I'm no fool. No, sir. I'm no fool. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on that one. This is what we're dealing with. Okay. Now, guys, can I shift gears on you? Because my wife said to me yesterday when I came up, she said, boy, honey, you were all over the place. Yeah, I was. I was all over the place. Sometimes my mind's all over. Hey, do me a favor, Jared. Get these two homos off the TV. Will you please? Would you please get them? Thank you. Boy, right wing picked up on that one, didn't they? They picked up on that one. That'll be out there. I have to do this because it's in my heart, okay? And then I'll move on. I got to show you this clip from Rick Wiles last night. I don't know if you know Rick Wiles or not. True News, he's been around a long time. But Rick's really amped it up. He has really, really amped it up. And if you've been watching this show at all for a long time, you know, we talk about Zionism and the worship of Israel and the Jews and who the Jews are. We take on all these topics. I don't have the platform Rick Wiles has. Anybody knows how to contact him? I want to get on with him and support him and what he's doing.
This show goes on every night.
I want to go start at 4 minutes, Jared. Did I put that in? Yeah, this is, I want you to watch about this. It's about 6 minutes. And this dude here, this guy has some courage. He has some courage because he is calling it out and he's calling them by name. I'm going to get into the scriptures here in a second, but I want you to listen to what Rick Wiles talks about Zionism, which we've spoken about here before. Go ahead and play this, Jared. About 6 minutes.
That our focus is to make sure that the Zionist Jews get their land back before the end of the age.
What is the focus of the New Testament?
Salvation of souls. All souls. Jews, Arabs, Africans, Asians, Latinos, Caucasians. It's all about souls. Jesus Christ died on a cross. He went to the grave. He descended to the place of the dead. He rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven. He's coming back in glory. For what? Not so that the Zionists rule the world from Jerusalem, but so that he will rule the universe from New Jerusalem. That's the gospel. And it has been forgotten in this country because the gospel in America has been overthrown by Christian Zionism. And I'm declaring war on Christian Zionism. And I'm doing it right now. I'm declaring war on the lie of Christian Zionism. It is a cancer in the body of Christ today. And it has confused the minds of people that they think that all we're supposed to do is save the land for the people in Israel who don't care about Jesus and who are persecuting the Christians in the Middle East who love Jesus.
Right.
This is insanity that this is going on every day in America, and hundreds of millions of dollars are being donated by Christians for Zionism. And yet there's no passion for winning souls of people who are lost and going to hell. That's what I'm concerned about. And something has happened to the church in America. It got co-opted. It got taken over. It got infiltrated about 20-some years ago. I watched it change, Doc. I saw it change in my lifetime.
It was a gradual change.
Yes, it was.
A little at a time. But it is not the same church as 20 and 30 years ago.
I got saved in 1978 and never heard anything about Israel in 1978. Nobody was talking about Israel. Nobody. I didn't hear a word. In the 80s, it was barely mentioned. You had to be around just certain, I would call them cultists, all right?
Right.
Who were into it. All the Christians I knew were talking about Jesus.
Right.
All right? Somewhere in the late 80s, early 90s, Christian Zionism took over Christian TV and Christian radio and Christian publishing. Somehow they got control. Christian Zionism got control. And they dominate the message right now. And somebody must rise up now and declare it to be a false message. It is a false doctrine. And we have to return to the doctrine of Christ crucified, coming back in glory. It has nothing to do with land. Nothing to do Amen. With land. Jesus' return is not dependent on anybody getting somebody else's land. It's all about Christ getting your soul. And we've got to get this message back on Christian television and Christian radio and in the pulpits again. Because isn't it interesting, Doc? The same years, the secret pre-trib rapture story and Christian Zionism, that's a two-headed
monster.
Monster. Yeah. It's a two-headed freak monster, okay? They come together. Both of them come together because they were started by the same people. The Christian Zionists started the pre-trib rapture doctrine.
And this was seed planted decades ago, but it came into full fruit
That's
within
right.
the last 30
they
years.
They had to create the pre-trib rapture doctrine to justify Christian Zionism. That's where it all came from. But isn't it interesting that in the recent decades, where the American Evangelical Church has been taken over by Christian Zionism, that the American Evangelical Church has lost its flavor.
Yes.
It's lost its saltiness. It is of no use anymore to God in this country.
Right. In fact, things are worse off now than they were.
You can cut it off there, Jared. This is a clip that you ought to go ahead and watch more of it. Just to refresh you, do you understand what he's talking about by Christian Zionism? In a nutshell, Christian Zionism is, dare I say it, the worship and partnership of Christians and Jews in Israel. That is Christian Zionism. Mm-hmm. And Rick goes on and it talks about how many Christians are being killed by Israel, Christians who are being killed in Syria and other places, and that the American Christians are supporting the slaughter of Christians by Israel. He's a brave guy. He's a very, 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 very brave guy. Anybody want to weigh in here? George, anybody? Go ahead. Go ahead, Serge.
He was also talking about they're stealing all the money from the churches. All the Christian churches are taking it all. Even Catholic churches and Protestant, any Christian church, they're just going in and wiping out their bank accounts.
In other words, Rick goes on and tells that the government of Israel is now seizing Christian churches, seizing them and their money and their finances. This is really, really good. So again, evil men have crept in unawares. He calls out John Hagee by name later on in this yep. in the worship of Israel. Anybody else want to weigh in? Or do you think this is a bunny trail? Because see, I don't think it's a bunny trail. I think it has to do with everything that we're talking about.
Hey Coach.
George.
You know, I've listened to Rick Wiles now for probably 3 years. I know Chad does. I know Lindell does. And I believe he's right on. I believe he's getting to the heart of what's really wrong with Amen. Christianity today. I know, Coach, you talk about it too. And like you said, I've actually – and if anyone else has connections, I've written Rick. I've supported him financially, I know, as others have. But I've mentioned you to him, Charles Jennings, that you two would be great guests on his show. So we'll just continue to believe that – you know, your message, Coach, goes right in line with what Rick's doing. But yeah, I'd encourage everyone to listen to Rick and study what he's saying because there's so much truth in it.
He's a brave, brave man. Brave man. Because you didn't listen. I'm just going to tell you, it's a third rail. You do not touch Israel and you do not touch the Jews. You just don't do it. You just don't do it. So God bless Rick Wiles, man. God bless him. Mm-hmm. Now, I got something else. I got something else I got to show. I hate to do all videos, but I got to show you this. I got to show you. Because yesterday, remember, we were talking about crime and punishment. I'm trying to bring all this together here, okay? We were talking yesterday about crime and punishment, and we went into the Old Testament. We talked about how shit, when innocent people were killed, that they had to mark off to the nearest town, and they had to sacrifice a goat or a heifer or something to cover the blood, that there's the payment required for blood. And I talked yesterday about, you guys could run down the list with me, couldn't you? You could run down the list of the numbers of innocent people who've been slaughtered in America. We could start with John F. Kennedy and the lies that they told us about Kennedy. We could go back farther, okay? But we could start there. And Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King. And then we could go talk about Randy Weaver, and then talk about what happened at Waco and what happened in Oklahoma City, and talked about what happened at 911, talked about what happened with Lavoie Finicum, on and on and on and on and on. These unpaid or no judgment, no justice for the shedding of innocent blood. That it reaches the tops to the top echelon of our government, and it gets buried in a hole. That they give us some lie, call us conspiracy theorists, right? We're conspiracy theorists because we say, I don't believe that. And isn't it amazing? It ends up with the upper echelons of the government where a lid is put on everything. And I don't know if you know this. This just came out. I got a clip here on Lavoie Finicum. Pull that up, Jared. Do you guys know this? That when they killed Lavoie Finicum, when they set up that roadblock to get Lavoie Finicum, also, uranium, this whole thing's connected to Hillary Clinton selling uranium to Russia. You understand that, don't you? Come on. Mm-hmm. When the FBI set up a roadblock to get Lavoie Finicum, do you know this? They were ordered to take off their body cameras. Did you know that? Huh? The FBI was ordered to take off their body cameras. Now, why would you do that? I mean, it seems to me if you're getting ready to come into some type of conflict, that would be important. That evidence that you'd have on your chest, that would be pretty important. And they were ordered not to turn them off. Now, I want you to watch this. Jared, did I tell you how far to forward it? Did I tell you where to begin on this one? I think I did, Jared. Started at the 4 minute and 30 second mark. If you've never seen this, again, I'm talking about innocent blood and the payment for innocent blood. And many of you have seen Lavoie Finicum when he was killed. We've seen it from the air when he was shot and he fell down. How many of you have seen the video that was taken from inside the car? Now, when we are picking this up, this video is about 12 minutes long. When we're picking it up, we're about 4 minutes into it. But Lavoie Finicum has already been stopped by the police. And he's told them, no, we're going to go to the sheriff. We need the protection of the sheriff, and that's where we're going. And if you're gonna have to kill us, if you're going to, but we're gonna go to the sheriff. We got a meeting with him. That's all in the first 4 minutes of it. So when we pick up right here, Lavoie Finicum has just gone through a roadblock around these guys, trying to get to the sheriff, who he already has a meeting with. And this is where it picks up, the video from inside the car. I want you to watch this, and you tell me if this is murder or not. And if this is innocent blood being shed, and do we all as a nation have an obligation to make sure that justice is done in this? Remember, come on now, Old Testament justice, what was it? They had to go offer blood, saying we had nothing to do with this. And we let them kill people we let this kind of stuff go on all the time. And why did the Lord cry? There was no justice. So this is about, I think I got about 4 minutes of this. This is unbelievable. Lavoie's going to get out of the truck. There are three people in the back seat, including two women. And just watch what goes on here. Go ahead.
Go. Got it. Are they shooting? Got it.
This is the FBI.
Keep going.
Same FBI that's covering for Hillary.
We can't get around him. I'm going to go get help.
Okay. So he went around him, and he's going as fast as he can.
I hear him, so I can call as soon as I get service.
Keep watching the phone, see if you get any service.
I don't have any.
I can't even get Joe Rice.
Coming up fast.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, I don't know about numbers.
Well, I got numbers, but I can't call because we have no service.
Of course, they set this up where there's no cell service. Isn't that something? They set the roadblock where there's no cell service.
Yeah, but...
Okay, so they're shooting.
Hang on.
Okay, we're here.
Go ahead and shoot me!
Damn! I'm trying to.
Go ahead and shoot me! Get him! 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 Get him
Stay down. Stay down. Stay down. Stay down. Stay down. Damn it. Are they shooting him? Did I shoot him? You asshole.
Oh my God!
Hold still. Hold still. Stay down.
Is he dead?
Dump it out.
I am T! I am T!
Stop it.
Are you hit?
No, I'm an EMT! Help me!
No, hold on, hold on, don't take that shooting! Don't do anything! The door is shut. Where the hell is LaVoy? Is he on the phone?
I can't see.
Let me help him!
Shut up. Stay down, Ryan.
Oh, God!
Ryan, stay down. Stay down. Oh, shit.
I think they just killed LaVoy.
Did they kill him?
I think they did, and they're shooting over here on this door.
Oh, I got hit, too.
Okay, hold still.
I don't know. It didn't.
Ryan. Hold still. Hold still.
Ryan, bleeding. Where did you get
hold
hit?
Still.
I'm not bleeding.
Okay, don't shoot
where
us.
Where did you get hit, Ryan?
I'm okay. It's
okay, I'm going to take some.
It's okay.
I'm taking some. Okay, get down. Oh, shit. Well, I don't know. Get out of the car. How are we supposed to get out of the car?
Did they tell us to get out of the car?
No, I can't hear anything. I don't dare get out of the car. Oh, shit. Quit shooting the windows.
Where are they shooting
them? They're hitting the windows. I don't know. They're trying to break their window.
God, keep us safe, please.
Please, please protect us,
please,
God.
Please, God.
Please protect us. Please protect us. Please protect us. We need help. We need help. We need help.
Did they kill him? They killed
no,
him.
I can see, a laser coming in.
The laser's on that thing.
God,
okay. So where's the rest of everyone?
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah,
I can see lasers going by.
Where did you get hit?
I'm okay.
He's got lasers.
Got a laser.
Keep your head down. I can see the laser. If you see a laser, keep it away from us. There's a laser on your knee. Stop! I don't dare get out because they'll shoot me.
No.
Okay.
Me
either, but I don't know what to do because
they
keep shooting lasers at us. Get
two stinking laps. Think things are just all dandy and fine. We got two damn laps.
Yeah. Damn, why do they keep shooting?
I'm why trying to take my head off. I was looking for
I know, but all of us? Stop!
Okay, stop! Jared, you can stop that. You can stop it. They eventually get out of the truck. Now, I don't know what you think about that. I don't know what you think about that. And see, things are out of control because the church has not risen up and said, this is wrong. This will not continue. The demand and the church takes the attitude that they deserve. They deserved it. Two women and unarmed people. I mean, anyway. Help me out here. I'm taking you someplace else.
He was murdered.
Coach?
Yes, George.
You know why I think they take that attitude? It's because it didn't happen to them.
It happened to someone else.
It didn't happen to them. They don't realize, just like Nazi Germany, eventually it will happen to them.
So, folks, don't miss the connection. This is the same FBI that covered for Hillary and Obama and all those freaks in Washington, D.C. over uranium, which is what this whole thing was about, the selling of the uranium by Hillary Clinton. And so all we have is a government, a cabal of people who are out of control with no justice and no judgment. And what did it say in Isaiah 59? That the Lord saw that there was no justice. It grieved the Lord that there was no justice. And it doesn't matter to us anymore either, see? You say, well, Coach, what do you want us to do about it? I don't know. I don't know. When's the last time you thought about LaVoy Finick and getting justice for them and the fact that they spent, 4 years in jail? 4 years of their life in jail for something that had to do with what? Uranium, which had to do with what? The Clintons? Let's go to Webster's Dictionary. I was going to go back to Isaiah 59,
Let's do it. Jared, I just pulled a double, a fast one on you. Let's go to Isaiah 59. We were there yesterday. I think it's 15. Hang on. Oh, my goodness. I could just go. Oh, boy. Man. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yet truth fails. And he that departed from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment. The Lord's displeased. He's displeased that there's no justice and there's no judgment. And so what we ran into yesterday, what we always run into is, dare I say it, the glorification of man. See, folks, this life is about the next life. We live this life for rewards and punishments in the next life, whether we want to believe that or not. And we have become so, see, because we're so humanistic, we can't even imagine taking the life of a criminal, a murderer, because, oh my goodness, killing one person to pay up for another, that doesn't even the score. That's not what the Bible teaches. That isn't what the Bible teaches. It is the greatest sign of judgment, and it's a great deterrent. The Bible's full of death penalty. It's full of it everywhere you go. Jesus died. God had the death penalty on Jesus. If the death penalty was wrong, God could have rescued Jesus. If the death penalty was wrong, Jesus, who was innocent, died to pay a price for what somebody else had done, a price that required blood. If the Son of God was not immune from having to lay down his life, why would we think that a killer would be, or a rapist would be, immune from the death penalty? Why? You say, well, Coach, Jesus died to forgive us of our sins. Yes! And if you receive Jesus, then you have life eternal. By the way, what happens if you don't receive Jesus? Oh, a death penalty. It's called the second death.
Amen.
God is for the death penalty.
Amen.
Evil men have crept in unaware. So ask Jared to go to, what do I have you at there, Jared? Webster's Dictionary. Pull that thing up there, Jared. Words mean things. I said, what's justice? What's justice? Back in 1828. Virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Wow. Practical conformity to the laws. Practical conformity to the laws, to the principles of rectitude in the dealings of men with each other. Honesty, integrity in commerce or mutual intercourse. Justice is distributive or commutative. Distributive justice belongs to magistrates or rulers and consists in distributing to every man that right or equity, which the laws and the principle of equity require, or in deciding controversies according to the laws and to the principles of equity. Commutative justice consists in fair dealing in trade and mutual intercourse between men and men. Impartiality, equal distribution of right and expressing opinions, fair representation of facts respecting merit or demerit, in criticism, narrations, history, or discourse, is the duty to do justice to every man, whether friend or foe. Yes, including Lavoie Finicum. Yes, including Randy Weaver. Yes, including John F. Kennedy. Yes, including those at the Branch Davidians. Yes, including those at 911. The Lord wants justice, equity, fair treatment under the law. And are we getting that in America? No, we're not getting it in America, because the church doesn't believe in judgment anymore. Jared, what's punishment? You can go down and read all these you want to. Type in punishment, Jared. What do you come up with? a pain or suffering inflicted on a person for a crime or offense, but by the authority to which the offender is subject, either by the Constitution of God or of civil society. The punishment of the faults and offenses of children by the parent is by virtue of the right of government with which in the parent is invested in by God himself. By the way, there's four forms of government. There's individual, personal government, family government, church government, and civil government. All right? And the way it's supposed to operate is the individual is disciplined by the family. And the family fails to do the discipline properly, then it falls to the church. And if the church is failure to discipline properly, then it falls to the civil government. But the civil government is the last line of discipline. It's the last line. And we immediately make it the first one. The church makes it the first line. Rather than the church dealing with the father who deals with the children. Punishment. Punishment. Punishment is a good thing. Go to judgment, Jared. Go to judgment. Type in judgment. What's that say? The act of judging. The act or process of the mind in comparing its ideas to find their agreement or disagreement as to ascertain truth. Or the process of examining facts and arguments to ascertain propriety and justice. Or the process of examining the relations between one proposition and another. That's judgment. You're supposed to look at something and say, that's right and that's wrong. Weigh the facts, that's right and that's wrong. And we're told not to judge. We're told not to judge by that same slimy Episcopal priest at the beginning. That's ruling the day. That's ruling America. That's ruling our churches. Mercy, Jared. What's mercy say? I'm feeling this one this morning, boys. What's mercy? Well, it's that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries or to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our anger language precisely synonymous with mercy. That's which comes nearest to it is grace. It applies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity, compassion, clemency, but exercised only towards offenders. Mercy is a distinguished attribute of the supreme being. So God was merciful in that he provided a way out. That's his mercy. He didn't forget your sin. His son paid the price for your sin. He was so merciful, he sent his only son. But he didn't cancel sin or the consequences of it. And if you are not a member of the family of Christ, dude, there ain't no mercy for you.
Amen.
You're under judgment. God loves everybody. We're welcoming, open door. We are inclusive. Oh, my goodness. Well, you may be open, inclusive, and all that stuff in your church, but I'll tell you this. Jesus ain't there. He ain't there. His daddy ain't there. One more, Jared. Let's go to grace. As we interchange these words, we don't even know what they mean. What do they mean? Grace is Latin, gratia. Means favor, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another as a grant made as an act of grace, or each or all may win a lady's grace. Appropriately, the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and the source of all the benefits men receive from him. That is grace. So folks, if God does not punish sin, he spits on his son's sacrifice. I'm going to say that again because you didn't get it. If God does not punish sin, he spits on his son's sacrifice.
Amen.
Because if his son's sacrifice paid the price and others are forgiven without his sacrifice, well, why did he even die? And what is the church teaching? We're all inclusive.
God loves everybody. Come on in. No crime, no punishment, no justice, just mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. See, I can tell you this. Someone could, heaven forbid, kill my wife. And I could forgive them. And I could offer mercy. And I could offer grace. And still demand they be punished. Don't you see the two? Don't you see the two? I forgive you, but you got a price to pay. I forgive you. It's okay. But you gotta pay. Not out of time, man. I got on a roll there. Somebody jump in here. Please? Anybody?
Well, Coach, we're too selfish to think about justice for other people.
Jared, that is it, isn't it? We've been taught that it's only about us. Only about us. Hey, guys, let me ask you this, guys. Did you ever see one of your children go to a football game, go to a basketball game, and watch how a parent reacts when they see their child treated unjustly? You watch that.
Oh, yeah.
How a parent reacts. And is it possible that our Heavenly Father reacts the same way when he sees one of his children being treated unjustly? Boy.
Amen. Hey, Coach?
Yes.
I don't think we bring up justice or think about justice, because justice for others also means that we have to look at ourselves and have justice for ourselves.
Equal scales, brother. Equal scales. And so, I don't know about you. I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. He paid for my sins. I am a sinner. I am found guilty of sin, but I've been forgiven because the price has been paid. He paid the fine. His blood paid the, remember the innocent blood? Remember the, had to go out and kill a goat and a calf and all that kind of stuff? Well, he did that for me. His blood covered my sins, but it doesn't cover the sins of the unrepentant. And it doesn't cover the sins of those who've not received him as a Savior. So if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, it says in John chapter 3 that the wrath of God abides on you. Not the grace of God, not the mercy of God, the wrath of God. Yeah, Dylan.
You know, we see these Black Lives Matter protesters going around. They chant, no justice, no peace. When are Christians going to start chanting, no justice, no peace?
Amen, buddy. Amen. Yeah. We should have long ago had pitchforks and gone to Washington, D.C. Why? Because understand this, the curse of blood guiltiness is upon all of us. It's upon all of us because we know of a number of people who were murdered innocently and we couldn't care less. The church I'm talking about. I care, but what do I do? What can I do? Well, see, that's what the church was supposed to do. But they've been poisoned by these sodomite. Oh my goodness. Evil men crept in unawares. No wonder people hate me. I don't care. I couldn't care less.
We've been taught to turn the other cheek most of our lives.
Yes. And that's against, Kevin, that's against personal insult. Personal insult. I turn the cheek when somebody says something to me personally that offends me. I turn the other cheek. And by the way, he only said that once, right? You got two cheeks. You only do it once. And we cannot turn the cheek when someone else is wounded. It's our job to defend the innocent.
Amen.
Hmm? Yes or no? And the church has lost all of that. The same thing Rick Wiles is talking about. We're trying to welcome into the kingdom Jews who hate Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
We are honoring, paying millions, if not billions of dollars towards the nation of Israel to Jews who hate us.
Hey, Coach.
Boys, we're sick. We are sick. Yeah, George.
And people are falling. Christians are falling right into it because they don't study. They study the history of how all this nonsense came into being.
George, they don't even read their Bibles. They don't even read their Bibles, for heaven's sake, let alone study. You're right. You're right. I got a minute. Anybody got a home run to hit before we close up here?
We need to beat up the bullies, Coach.
Well, the Lord saw it, that there was no justice. It grieved him. It angered him that there was no justice. And the Lord hated sin, and he hated injustice so much that he sent his boy. Only son. Because he just couldn't forgive it. There had to be a price paid. the books had to be balanced.
I think it's said that so much in the things calling themselves churches, so many teachings, when you look at the teaching, it goes 180 degrees opposite of what Jesus Christ himself preached and taught.
Amen, Larry.
Because it's humanism.
Anyone who closes their eyes to that fact, and anyone who chooses to believe their 6-foot popsicle instead of what the Word of God says, deserves whatever wrath God puts on them.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot serve Jesus and yourself. Can't do both. God saw it, that there was no justice, and it grieved him. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.